Fight the good fight of faith. Lay hold on eternal life, whereunto thou art also called, and hast professed a good profession before many witnesses. Now I'd like to address the whole congregation and then slowly but move to the text. Congregation, tomorrow is, dear congregation, Memorial Day. We remember tomorrow and today those who have died in various wars for our nation, that we as a nation have been involved in. And we are mindful that they died, that we might have life, might have freedom to worship. And among those that died were many Christians. We do not know, God knows. But we know from various accounts through various decades, and even if you, and you are probably very familiar with various stories of our Civil War so long ago, there were those who died in faith. And before they died, there were revivals among them. But they had to die. And we thank God for those who died in faith. But their cost of life should make us mindful that there is a cost to life. That there is actually a cost to anything worthwhile and precious. And we should not remember that only as a nation, but also when it concerns the life of each and every one of us, that God calls us to live. Because there are not only the national or international wars, but there is also underneath everyone's life and in everyone's life a spiritual warfare. And that costs something. And that should be important to you and to me, and also to you, Joel, and to you, Tammy, as you are sitting here actually with your dear son, Easton. And on this special day for you and your families, on which we are thankful to God, it is fitting that you and we as a congregation realize that what happened this morning too in the confession and in a faith and in the baptism, there is a cost to that. There is a cost to it. And that's not only true for Joel and Tammy and Easton, but that's also true for every one of us. You can think of those of us who recently, some years ago maybe, made confession of faith, or some maybe 40 years ago or 50 years ago, some maybe 60 years ago or more. And if you say, but I haven't made confession of faith yet, well, if you have not yet made confession of faith, maybe because you are still young, or because you simply put it off, then God's charge comes to each and to all of us this morning, and it's no different, really. Let's now listen to our text where God is speaking these words to us. 1 Timothy 6, verse 12. These words, 1 Timothy 6, verse 12. Fight the good fight of faith. Lay hold on eternal life, whereunto thou art also called, and hast made a good profession before many witnesses. That's the text. And I'll use as a theme, welcome to the battle. Welcome to the battle. How we are put in the battle, and then how we can fight in that battle. So welcome to the battle, how we can put into that battle, and how we can fight and are to fight in that battle. First of all, how are we put into it? The passage says, fight the good fight of faith. But as to how we are put into it, you read the next two phrases that come. Because the Apostle Paul says, whereunto thou art also called. That's how you get into it. And he says, and thou hast made a good profession. Those two sub-thoughts to our first point this morning, congregation, how we are put into the battle. First of all, then, you are called Now let's first of all become clear on this one point, that everybody in this world is fighting. Everybody in this world is fighting in one way or another. It just depends on what side everybody is fighting on. But the scripture makes clear that everybody in the world is fighting. And the majority of people are on the side of Satan, that serpent who rebelled against the Most High God. And you know it through our fall in Adam with Eve. The devil enlisted you and me, our moms and dads, our grandparents, way back all the way to Adam and Eve, into his army. And is it not true that everybody comes into this world with swords in his hands and in his heart? That's right. Also in his heart. And those swords are stretched out against God. That's our original sin, that all of us have come into this world having been conceived and born in sin. So let none of us now think that there are two sides. There is God's side, there is the devil's side, and there is my side in the middle. I'm still on a neutral side. There is no neutral side in this regard, congregation. If you think that you are a spectator, as many think that they are only spectators who are not fighting, those people need to know that the devil has got them and they are fighting on the devil's side. And what they do comes against the demands of God. And so they are fighting against God. They're resisting his will, his way, his call. So that, first of all, everybody is fighting. Paul, who is writing this letter to Timothy, he's been fighting. Even before he was a Christian, converted. In fact, he makes clear in his epistle that he was a chief fighter against God and against his Christ, in spite of all his zeal, so he thought, for God and his law. And when Timothy was born, he was born a fighting boy. Now, we don't know a lot about Timothy's conversion, congregation, that may have happened when he was young, when his grandma and his mother, Lois and Eunice, were teaching him the Holy Scriptures, which were able to make him wise unto salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. But it may be when the Apostle Paul came for the first time to Lystra, his hometown, and he heard the Apostle Paul preach, that man, that young man, was converted. But as I say, when he was born fighting against God. Now what happens when somebody is called, is converted, is put into battle, like Timothy, Paul, or anyone who is brought to be on the side of the Lord? That happens, our text says, by getting called. You are called, whereunto thou art also called. Literally it says, eternal life, whereunto thou art also called. So eternal life, to which we have been called, does not come without a fight, not without this battle. So you could say that this is a calling to the battle. Now what Paul is speaking here to Timothy about is really what we call effectual call. Remember, there is the general call, but here he is, you could say, speaking about the inward call, the effectual call of God in his sovereign grace. When the Lord irresistibly works upon the fallen, the depraved heart of a sinner by his word and spirit. And then through that inner call, he regenerates that sinner. That's what God did when Paul was on his way to Damascus against Christ, and Christ stopped him, and he came down from his high horse, and he lay on the dust. Who art thou, Lord? What wilt thou have me to do? And God did it in a different way with Timothy, but when it comes down to it, he did exactly the same. even though the manner was in a way different. But it goes like this, that you and I who have come into this world while fighting against God in sin and unbelief and rebellion against God, going on in our self-centeredness and our self-will against the Lord, fighting against God's word, God's law, God's commandments, God's convictions, enjoying the pleasures of sin for a season, whatever form of opposition against God that may take, congregation. And it may be a short process, it may be a longer process, but the Lord comes into your life with his word. He calls, he uncovers you to your sin and to his glory. And you realize what you have never realized, maybe vaguely, but never realized now in that new way that you have sinned against God and that God mercifully has spared you up to this moment. And that his judgments are against you and upon you unless you repent and turn unto Christ. And then he calls you, you see, in that sense that he promised you pardon and life and all other things through the Lord Jesus Christ, the Redeemer, for all of life here and for a never-ending eternity with him. And I ask you this morning, as I asked Tammy, in a sense a while ago, did I not, with those questions, but I ask now everybody, have you already been called in that way, effectually, savingly, by God's grace? Could Paul the Apostle have written this text to you, whereunto thou art called, as he does to Timothy? Now, of course, in a certain way, through the preaching and through baptism, the Lord is calling every one of us. And that's what we sometimes call then the general call of the gospel, or the external call. And the Bible speaks about it, so the Bible says, so that nobody is without any excuse, but we need the call of God to come with power in our hearts. And that's what Paul is talking about here. Thou art called. He doesn't say, whereunto ye are called in the plural, but whereunto thou, singular, art called. Personally, Timothy, I'm not talking for a moment about the general call to everyone. I'm talking about the personal, effectual call to you, Timothy. And I say it to you, congregation, and by now we realize that we have been fighting all along by nature on the wrong side. And that the general from heaven, and who is also the general here on this earth, is calling us personally, lay down your weapons. Be converted. And learn to devote your life to me. Fight for me and for my glory. And when that happens, then the word is, which is the theme this morning, welcome to the battle. And just think for a moment of the power of the Lord. Whereunto thou art called. That word comes then with power. And God simply has to call. That's all he did with Paul, you might say. And Paul was enlisted. That's how Timothy was called and enlisted. And that's how many other sinners everywhere have been called and changed from one side of the battle to the other side of the battle. For Christ, for God, and with Christ. What a powerful and a gracious God, congregation. All he needs to do is call. And the fact that this morning he even gives you the general call, you, he calls generally. What a grace that he doesn't cast you away. Whereunto thou art called. So that first of all, but there is a second subpoint to this first subpoint, congregation, because Paul also says, before witnesses, you professed it before witnesses. So it's a personal call of God. But it's not just something that happens in the inner room and nobody notices. That's just you on a little island. No, God gives you people who are with you. Fellow travelers. Fellow soldiers to eternity. And to show that he has ordained what we witnessed this morning for Tammy, together with Joel. She made profession before all you as witnesses. Witnesses. You know, when you get enlisted into the United States Army or Armed Forces, then that enlistment is ordered or is administered by a commissioned officer. For any person who enlists for the first time or he is being re-enlisted. And then the officer asks that person, raise your right hand. And you raise your right hand. And now repeat after me, he says. And then you repeat after him. And that oath is, I understand, taken before the flag of the United States. Or other flags, such as the state flag may be hanging there as well. And the military branch flag may be there. And a unit may be present before witnesses, you see. And then in the armed forces, it reads something like this. I, Lawrence Bilks, or Tammy, Marie, or Joel, your name, I do solemnly swear that I will support and defend the Constitution of the United States against all enemies, foreign and domestic, and that I will bear true faith and allegiance to the same, that I will order the orders of the President of the United States and the orders of the officers appointed over me according to the regulations and the uniform code of military justice. So help me God. Now, something like that. That's what the Apostle Paul is writing about to Timothy. But now, before God and many witnesses, he says, and he said, you did it before God and you did it before witnesses. You, that is, you solemnly agreed, Timothy. You publicly subscribed to the subscription. To put it plainly, you had been taught the truth of God's word. Now repeat it before witnesses that you hold to it, you believe in it. That first of all. So you solemnly put yourself in this instance to the truth of the word of God with all that you are. And you promise to live in accordance with it, with your heart and your soul and your mind and your strength. So help me God. So you're willing. And you stand before many witnesses to make that profession. And then notice that the Apostle Paul says, it's a good profession. A good profession. Now, all of God's word is good. But here he uses it for this word. Good. What is so good about it? Well, you need to think of it in terms of the gospel and the word, for gospel is glad tidings. The gospel is a good gospel, congregation, for sinners. Salvation for sinners. It speaks of the goodness of God for an undeserving people. And who are the witnesses to that profession? Well, you, I. This morning we have been here as witnesses. You've heard what was said and what was done. And think back to when you were baptized or when you made confession of it. There were witnesses. Some of them have passed away. And some you still remember. I remember some of the witnesses that were there when I made profession. And they are witnesses. And we do that to one another, don't we? I've said it to some people. I remember that I was present when you made profession of faith. I heard you say, I do. Oh, really? Were you there? Oh, how interesting. No, not interesting. A witness. And what does a witness do? Well, he can remember it. Yeah, but more than that, he can say to you, I heard what you said. You said yes. But now you are not going by it. Come back. Come back. Repent. That's what a witness is for, is it not? And let us not shrink from our responsibility in this regard, congregation, not only with regard to Tammy, but with regard to each other. But there are more witnesses than just the congregation as we are sitting here this morning. You can also think of that the angels are the witnesses of our confession. And above all, the triune God has witnessed your confession. And he knows that when you made confession of faith, whether you did it just out of custom or superstition, it was time to get married and your wife's parents, they kind of pushed you into it. No, God knows how you did it. You know, some people enlist into the military services and they have some deceitful motives that we might not know, but God knows. And this morning, don't know if you noticed that, but the devil came to Wall Avenue, 946. He witnessed your confession. He knows when a person that belongs to him by nature comes into the army of the Lord. And that's why in ancient times, in the early Christian church, when a person made profession of faith or a whole family made profession of faith, then it was common for the church members to say, welcome into the battle. Welcome. And that's my theme this morning, congregation. This morning, we should thank the Lord that our forces have been reinforced. And let us remind ourselves of our own vows, which are upon us. And then let's take note, secondly, of how all of us must battle. Paul is driving it home very clearly. The duty to Timothy, but all who are in the Lord's army. And Paul says there are three ways in which we must fight. First of all, he says we must be engaged to faith. Listen to these words. Fight the good fight. Be engaged to fight. And the word for fighting is also struggle. And it's a disciplined struggle. And the tense that the Apostle Paul uses is not just do it once a while, you get into trouble, fight off. No, it's a continuous struggle, a never-ending struggle. Timothy, that's what Paul is saying, carry on the struggle that you have already begun. And then, as in every warfare, you need reminders of what you are here for and what you have to do and how serious it is. And that you should not draw back or give space to the enemy. And that's one of the reasons that the Apostle Paul is writing this text to Timothy already in the first chapter, 1 Timothy 1 verse 18. He had written to Timothy, this charge I commit unto thee, that thou mightest war a good warfare. And just before he completes his last letter to Timothy, in chapter 4 verse 7, remember the Apostle Paul says, I have fought the good fight. No, Paul does not write to Timothy, be belligerent. In verse 11, just before our text, he has said he has to follow after meekness. But he says there is a fight to be fought, Timothy. And every loyal soldier in Christ's army must fight. And there were in Ephesus, where Timothy was working at this time, there were men in Ephesus, in the church, who were wandering away, erring from the truth. You can read it in verse 10 and in verse 21. Fight a good fight, he says. Be engaged. Now, to fight is never a pleasant thing to do from a certain perspective, congregation. But the task at hand is fight. He doesn't say, Timothy, you are the coordinator. Coordinate the fight. Talk about the fight. Just be a little bit in the background. Teach others about the fight. No, Timothy, you need to be fighting from morning till night. Every waking moment, have your weapons brandished, ready for the next attack. And don't just attack, but also defend both. Defend, don't just defend, also gain new ground in the Lord's strength and by the Lord's grace. Fight in your personal life. Fight for holiness. Fight against sin. Fight through prayer. Fight in the truth. Fight for souls. And we will say today, fathers, mothers, fight in your families and for your families. And elders, fight. Deacons, fight. Pastor, fight. Younger ones, fight. 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 Don't fight with each other, but fight against sin. Fight what's happening in our universities as to the godlessness there in so many. Fight the devil. Fight the systems of thought in our many places in our society that are carrying our nation away from the foundation of our nation. And fight, don't forget to fight against indwelling sin and against temptation and against laziness and against self-centeredness and pride. Fight against the spirit that you may be not aware of discontentedness. Fight it. And fight against the tendency to grow weary in well-doing. Be engaged to fight. So that first of all. And then I repeat what I hinted at a moment ago. See it as a good fight. Fight the good fight of faith. We can also translate, fight the excellent or the noble fight of faith. Paul means to say, there is no more excellent fight than this fight of faith. The outcome is glorious. The good fight. And notice that Paul writes this to Timothy. He doesn't push him into the heat of the battle just out of a sense of duty. Just go, man, fight. Kill or get killed. That's not how he does it. He makes the fight seem attractive. The good fight, Timothy. Good because you have a good cause. A good general who never abuses his soldiers. Never leaves you without the support you need and the resources. He's a good general. And also it is a good fight because it has a good future. The victory has already been won by Jesus Christ. And he has given you the good Holy Spirit. And you have good fellow soldiers. Young people, there is no fight as good as this fight. And it's good because not to fight is terribly bad. If you do not fight, this good fight of faith, then you are on the other side, but you are fighting. But the end will be bad for you forever. Fight the good fight. And then notice something else. He calls it the fight of faith. That means also fight it through faith. Actually, it says fight the good fight of the faith. There's to be an article there. Of the faith. Now, I know that already in the previous verse 11, he has used the word faith or faithfulness, as it is sometimes translated, as one of the qualities that Timothy was to follow after. But in verse 10 and in verse 21, he describes the false teachers as having erred, wandered from the faith. Same thing, the faith, the apostolic faith, the body of doctrine, the compendium, if you like, the catechism, if you like, that gives a summary of a large part of the scriptures. The faith. You need to fight for it, Timothy. But in this fight, you can never fight unless you do it by a true faith. And you think you are fighting the good fight, but you need to do it by a true faith. It can only be done by the power of faith, a deep felt dependence and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. Fight the good fight of faith. It also means, congregation, that faith really starts the battle. The enemy speaks to take away from us the faith. And the enemy does that by detracting your and my attention from the faith. So you need to fight it through faith. But the enemy comes and he says, now look at the riches of the world. Don't you like them? The esteem of the world. Be good for you. No, fight the good fight of the faith. And then finally, Paul says, see the eternal significance of this fight. I already mentioned tomorrow is Memorial Day, as no doubt you know. Many have laid down their lives for us. They were driven by something that they thought, if it's going to cost me my life, what I'm doing in this war, it's worth doing it. Even if I will not enjoy the benefits of this fight. Now, when a person fights this spiritual the fight of the good fight of the faith, then you need to do it in a similar way that you are driven by eternity. That you are driven by eternity. So that if you are in this fight buffeted by many enemies, if you lose your possessions, your job, your position, your reputation, if you would lose your life for it, then you're ready to do that because you have come to see the beauty and the glory of eternal life. Not that Paul is teaching man that man can give this eternal life to himself by dying. Not at all. Eternal life is a gift of God through Jesus Christ by faith. The man that has been brought into this battle, he is like Christian in Pilgrim's Progress, and he cannot help but put his fingers into his ears, and then start saying, eternity, eternity, eternal life, eternal life. That's what I must have. That's what Paul is saying. Have the cost in view. Fight in such a way that you have that eternity in view, heaven in view. The day when the battle will be done and won, that day is more glorious than anything that you had thought of before. Lay hold, he says, of eternal life. I know it's time to close, congregation. I don't know if you know the practice of the fiery cross among the early Scots. In the days when Christianity came to the Scottish Highlands, there were many Highland clans, and those enemies that came against Christianity, they burned their homes, their villages, and they came unannounced. They took their cattle, their livelihood, everything. And so they were always ready for war. And there was a chief in each of the clan, and their practice was that if anyone saw danger coming, get it out to the chief. And then the chief would send messengers off with a relatively small but wooden cross. And then he would run to another part of his clan, and he would lit the cross and tell them they all knew where to go. They all had been pre-planned. And then he would go on to the next group of people with a fiery cross. Now you could say that we, in our text, are pointed to this fiery cross of our Lord Jesus Christ. And Christ says, fight the good fight of faith. The fiery cross. You could also say that's the cross where the wrath of God burned against the one on the cross, Jesus, our Savior. And you can also say that the cross, the fiery cross, is the cross that burns with the love of Jesus for the lost. All of us are solemnly, earnestly called. Let none of us doubt it. This morning, Jesus has come to me. Tammy, Joel, Easton, all of you, come. Welcome to the battle. Engaged in the battle. See it as a good fight. Fight it through faith, depending on the Lord. And see the eternal significance of the fight. And if you're still fighting against the Lord, or how you need the Spirit to break your heart open, He's pleased to do it today, congregation. Cry to Him. He's calling you. Cry to Him. He'll hear you. And then you will say, Lord, Thou art stronger than I and hast prevailed. Welcome to the battle. The day is coming when the Lord, the captain, will greet the weary soldiers, but the faithful soldiers. And what will He say to them? He will say, welcome home to the eternal mansions. And remember, He who calls you is faithful. He also will do it. Be thou faithful unto death, and I will give you the crown of life. Amen. Let us pray. Lord Jesus, Thou hast made a good confession before Pontius Pilate. It brought Thee to the cross. Thou didst go so willingly. And Thou dost call us unto eternal life. And Thou dost charge us, fight the good fight of faith. We thank Thee for Joel and Tammy joining us therein. We pray that Easton may grow up and become a soldier of the cross. And that we be a people who know what it is to go onward, Christian soldiers, right into the battle, following and under the command of the great commander. Dismiss us now with Thy hands of blessing. Remember also Louise de Blay, who had to be hospitalized. Remember her in bountiful mercy. In Jesus' name, amen.